I invite you to take your Bibles with me tonight to Mark chapter 13, first of all. Mark chapter 13. I want to kind of finish up a couple of other things that I found after our study last week. And take heed to yourselves, or take heed unto thyself, singular or plural. Notice a couple other passages. While you're turning to Mark 13, a couple of the passages in the Old Testament actually says take heed in relation to idolatry. And we have to be very careful not to take on the idols of our day, the idols of covetousness, or the things of this world. But I want you to notice here also Mark chapter 13, verses 9 and following. He has another take heed here to to yourselves. Here in this case, take heed in times of persecution. And I believe we're going to face this more and more. In fact, it was interesting as I was reading some news items here this afternoon as I logged on to some emails. I get some emails that just give you the basic headlines, and I don't take time to read all the articles, but I did open this one up because it mentioned Oahu, and there's actually two atheists that are suing a couple of schools because they're opening their doors up to churches. And I thought, that sounds very interesting here in Hawaii. So notice here, as you think about the day of persecution that we are heading to very quickly, notice Mark 13, verse 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Now let me pause there. I believe that's true because we know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can bring those things back to our minds. I don't believe it's a situation where the Holy Spirit brings something that's not there. You know, we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what the Word of God says in order for the Holy Spirit to bring that back to mind. But notice here, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, for whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And again, I believe the Holy Ghost uses the Bible. Now, he's given us the completed Word of God. He gives us the Word of God so that we can speak these things, or he brings them to our minds. Verse 12, now the brother shall betray the brother to death. So notice here a division even in families in the last days. The father, the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, the word saved there does not mean speak of salvation. He's talking about deliverance if we endure through those things. In particular, I believe this is speaking of the tribulation period. But again, I believe it's going to get bad in the last days. So again, take heed to yourselves in times of persecution. Notice also Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. We have another take heed here to yourselves. All right, Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. All right, so here's our phrase then. Notice verse 3 again. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. All right, so rebuke and forgiveness here. So again, we go to the brother who has offended. Verse 4, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, I think it's very interesting here, the disciples then, after this is said, you know, seven times a day, you know, I'm supposed to rebuke and also forgive. So notice what the disciples say here collectively then, and the apostles said unto the Lord, what? Increase our faith. Do you realize how much faith it takes to forgive? I don't think we often think about faith related to forgiveness. It takes a lot of faith to forgive, and we're talking about true forgiveness as Christ forgives. We're not talking about saying, don't worry about it. That's not forgiveness. When you think about Christ on the cross, he actually forgave before he calls on his Father to forgive them, for they know not what. For Jesus to say, Father, forgive them, he has already forgiven them as well. You know, when your brother irritates you and he says, I'm sorry. That never happens in your family, right? No. especially since Gabriel's younger, right? But you think about this, even in a family, in a church, in whatever setting, there's offenses that are going to come. We will offend one another from time to time. Sometimes we don't even think about it. We don't even ponder the fact that, yeah, that may have been offensive. You think about this. When they ask for forgiveness, out of faith, we are to say, I forgive you. When somebody turned my room upside down in Bible college, my roommates decided, I was working late one night, and I got back tired, ready to go to bed, and I got into my dorm room. I had a separate room in the back. There was a front room and a back room. And so after I got into my room, I realized my whole room was turned upside down. My bed was upside down. My desk was upside down. My shelves with all the books were upside down. I was tired and a little irritated that night. So I was a little upset, and I let my roommates know that I was a little upset at what I found in my dorm room. Well, as they were laughing, they decided to help me turn my room right side up. Well, they said, that really bothered you. We probably shouldn't have done that, even though we thought it was funny. But, now I laugh about it. But I didn't laugh about it that night. But they said this, forgive us. I said, nah, don't worry about it. It was no big deal. No, forgive us. You see, there's a difference. Joseph didn't say to his brothers, it was no big deal. It was a big deal what Joseph experienced. He said, God meant it for good, but I forgive you. All right, so again, forgiveness. Now, I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This leads us to the one I want for us to consider tonight, the next take heed. And there's a whole bunch of them in Scripture, and I've been doing a study on these. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and following. The one I want for us to consider tonight is take heed how you build, or how ye build. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, in essence, a general contractor, Bob can relate to this passage, but the word master builder actually is based on a Greek word that carries the idea of an architect, right? Someone who designs and oversees a building project. Notice here it says, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right, so you notice here again, Paul says he's acting as the wise master builder. He's laying the foundation. Of course, Bob and I saw a house, a couple weeks ago that doesn't have a foundation under it. It's just one of those portable houses that was basically set on the ground. There were a few concrete pads here and there, basically to kind of build things up. But, you have to have a foundation for something to last. So notice here, Paul says he's laying a foundation. But then he says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus say about the church in Matthew 16:18? I will what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus not only is the builder, but he's also the foundation upon this rock. Now, the Catholic Church says what? It's talking about, Peter, the quote-unquote first pope, being the foundation. No, if you look at the words there, Jesus is saying upon this rock. In essence, he's pointing to himself, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So again, Jesus Christ is the foundation. In fact, it's interesting, you don't need to turn there, but Ephesians 2 says that it talks about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, what did the apostles and the prophets give us? The Word of God, right? All right, so the apostles and the prophets gave us the Word of God, but then it says Jesus Christ is what? He is the chief cornerstone. All right, so we have the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. All right, so we have a foundation that is laid. Notice with me, 1 Peter, keep your place, we're coming back, but 1 Peter chapter 2, it's interesting what Peter says in relation to that. Again, another apostle that gives us this picture here. In essence, we can see that a church is a spiritual house and not a physical house. Too many times we look at church being a building. Now, I'm thankful for the places, plural, that we have to meet, but these places are not the church. The church is the people. Notice here it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed even of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as, notice, lively stones. All right, so we're not dead stones being built on that foundation. We're lively stones, thankfully, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Notice how many times spiritual is emphasized in this passage. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Notice here, verse 8 then speaks of a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, and had not obtained mercy, but have obtained mercy. So notice again, we're lively stones. All right, so you're a stone that's being built. You're a stone being placed on this foundation. We're all a stone that's laid on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, also the apostles and prophets. So notice we're building a spiritual house. We're not talking about a physical house. So we got to set aside the building. Too many times, again, in fact, as I read the Gospels, I think it's interesting. They were showing Jesus the temple, and they said, what magnificent stones are here. Jesus says, are you impressed with buildings? There's not one stone that's going to be built upon another. You know, of course, as we know in history, in AD 70, Rome marched in and they literally tore that temple apart to try to get all the gold between the stones and everything. They literally tore the temple apart. Jesus says, you're so impressed with buildings, this temple will not, of course, what's there now? The Dome of the Rock. So we understand that the temple, the physical temple, the building, would be torn down. Notice as far as a foundation, also notice with me on Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, this is right after he talks about the religious people not being saved. And he says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. All right, so it's not enough just to hear them. We've got to decide how we're going to put them into practice. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. All right, so you know the song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Now, as the rains came down and the floods came up, what happens to the house that's built on the rock? It stands firm, all right? Now, as far as the sand, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came down and the floods came up just as the same as the other man. You know, you have some firm lava rock here in this area. But you notice the difference there. The foolish man is going down to one of the beaches and trying to build his shack. All right, so then the winds start blowing the waves in, and what happens? It falls flat. Why? Because you need a solid foundation. So again, the importance of a foundation of the Word of God. All right, so we have the difference here, the wise man and the foolish man. And then it says here, verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I think also the hymn, The Solid Rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, just the same. We all have trials in life. You know, we're not immune from trials and difficulties just because we're Christian. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, and he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes could only quote what other scribes or rabbis would say. So Jesus is teaching from the authority of Scripture. So again, the importance of a solid foundation. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we consider again, we are to take heed how we build upon this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Then we have to be careful of the building materials that we choose. Now, as Berta is going through the process of remodeling her kitchen, I'm learning that she is being very particular on what kind of materials she has in her new kitchen, because she wants this new kitchen to last and not look nice for a short time. She has the idea of what it's talking about here, being careful of the types of building materials that we use. Notice it says in verse 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day," and I believe this is the day of the judgment seat of Christ, "shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire." Now, from time to time, I try to point out here about that fire. For many years, I'd read the Bible, and it's like, what is the fire that would try our works? This never happens to you, I'm sure, when Dad finds out that you did something wrong. And when a dad finds out that their child did something wrong, what happens when Dad looks at you? It's almost like Dad's eyes can look right through you, right? But you two never got in trouble, right? So Dad never had to correct you or anything, right? Because you were perfect children. Dad says no comment, right? When I was growing up and I heard my full name, I realized why parents give you middle names, so that they're longer and to have an emphasis when you're in trouble. Daniel William Butterbrook, get up. Of course, I had a very long name because I have a long last name. Daniel William Butterbrook, get up here right now. When I heard my name and I knew I had done something wrong and Dad found out, I knew I was in trouble. I believe this here, in Revelation chapter 1, it says that the Lord's eyes are like flames of fire. And I think that's a situation where, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Holy Son of God is going to look at us, and His eyes are going to be like flames of fire. It's almost like He's able to burn a hole right through us, because He knows everything. That's why we got to make sure that there's no secrets in our lives, because Jesus Christ already knows about those things. But again, the emphasis here is He's talking about a type of building material, something that will last. We have to be careful of the kind of materials that we use when we build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the emphasis here is not quantity. Oh, we could build a nice big house of straw, and what's going to happen if the fire, you think about it, there's not going to be much left if fire hits straw. All right, so you think about the wood, all of those things that will burn up. I don't want ashes to show for my life. I don't want ashes to show for all that I've done with my life, because I want to give honor to Him. And I trust that's your desire also. So we have to be careful of the types of materials that we use. Just stay there. Let me read for you a couple of verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about different types of materials. 2 Timothy 2 verses 19 through 21. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity," or depart from sin, a type of sin, iniquity. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," the word sanctified means to be set apart, "and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Listen to these words again. How to be a vessel unto honor? We're sanctified, we're set apart for God's use, meet or fitting for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Are we ready and are we prepared unto every good work? So again, we have to be careful of the types of materials that we use, what sort of materials. We have been saved not to go to heaven. Oh, that sounds contrary to Scripture. If we were saved simply to go to heaven, then we would already be there. Ephesians 2:10, after the two verses we often quote for salvation, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are saved unto good works. We have been before ordained unto good works. So again, even motives of the types of, or the motives, I should say, for the works that we do. Back in 1 Corinthians 3, notice verses 16 and 17, I want you to see here that collectively we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not? Now, let me point out here that the modern Bibles change the these and the thous and the yees and the yous to be all you. I believe it kind of is a problem with Scripture because notice here it says, know ye, that's plural, not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Individually, God dwells within us, but you notice what he's emphasizing here, collectively. As the church assembles, that's why I believe it's important for us to understand the importance of gathering. You know, I've been working with a family right now that has lost sight of the fact that it's important for us to gather and assemble together. Because you notice here it says, ye collectively are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, plural. Now, if any man, notice now it's singular. It's very important to see the distinction here. If any man defile the temple of God, him, singular, an individual, shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye, plural, are. So you notice here we have collectively, everyone is together a temple of God. So the temple meets in a particular place or a building. But then we notice here that one person can have a defiling effect upon the temple of God. You know, even as the Bible says, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. So a temple of God, in fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, very familiar verses to many. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice again, God has come to dwell within us. So it's a serious thing to defile the temple of God. So again, take heed unto yourselves or unto thyself, or individually or collectively. But also, tonight I want to emphasize, take heed how you build. As we are seeing God put together a church in this place, Amazing Grace Baptist Church, even as I was visiting Monday night, Brother Harry, I thought we were reorganizing one church, and we, in essence, we're blending two churches as we're waiting on God's direction and all this. I'm excited about what God is doing. I wasn't anticipating God doing all that He's doing. I thought it'd be quite a while before we put things together, but the Lord is doing some amazing things in the promise that He has given me, gave me a couple months ago. But as you think about what God is doing, let's take heed as to how we build. We have to make sure we have a solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only solid foundation upon which this church will be able to build and last. So I want to make sure we have a solid foundation, but then be careful how we build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to, again, study your word here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us as we consider these things. Help us to take heed. The Bible has several of those types of warnings to beware, to pay attention. And Lord, I pray tonight, that even as we are seeing what you're, we're amazed, Lord, at what you're doing with Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be careful of how we build. Lord, help us to choose proper building materials. Lord, help us to be careful of how we build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to make sure it is the foundation of Christ first and foremost. Lord, not just salvation, but Father, keeping Jesus Christ the preeminent one in this church. So Lord, help us to take heed how we build, even tonight and in the months and years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.